Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Race Time Radio. Here we go, another edition of Race Time. So glad you could tune in live tonight, right here on Sirius XM Channel 167 Canada Talks. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the Race Time Radio studio. What did you think of that weekend, Jr.?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
What a great weekend.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
I mean, got a chance to spend some time at a racetrack, so, you know, all is right in the world. but last one of the season.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
For us, at least in the RTR world, it's the last one that we're able to take in here in Ontario. But, man, it was an action-packed weekend over at Flamborough Speedway. There was a lot of action from Talladega Speedway that we got to take in, and lots to talk about, you know, from all the way across Canada.
Now, I'll tell you what, we're going to go truly coast to coast here tonight on the program and all points in between. Let me tell you who we got coming up on this very program, and we will get it kicked off here in mere moments with the winner from Talladega in the Gander Truck Series. How about it? Canadian Raphael Lazard goes to victory lane with his KBM number 4 truck for Mobile. And how about Sirius XM on that truck? That's right. Raphael Lazard going to join us right off the top of the show. And we'll celebrate a Canadian in victory lane at Talladega Super Speedway. That's going to be cool to catch up with Raphael. Then we will go off to Canada's East Coast and we'll pull in our Canadian connection out there. Mr. Tim Terry is going to join us from timscorner.ca and we'll wrap up all the action for Miramichi and everything that took place out on Canada's East Coast. Then back to the hotline we'll go and we'll talk a little bit more trucks. Of course, last weekend on the show we had Jason White that announced he was going to be in that very truck race that Raphael won at Talladega. Jason White, I believe, piloted. Well, we'll get the number. I didn't see the race. We were tied up at Flamborough Speedway. But Jason White should be cleared all the way through customs and doing his COVID test and doing all that stuff by about three quarters of the way through hour number one. So we'll grab Jason White before we hit the top of the hour. Then off to the hotline we'll go. How about a brand new owner at Full Throttle Speedway? Of course, Varney, Ontario. Paul Trepanier is going to join us on the show. He's the new owner of Varney, Full Throttle Speedway. And we'll catch up with Paul tonight. Then off to the off to the West Coast we will go, all the way out to British Columbia, and we will welcome in Trevor Siebert to talk Area 27, recap the weekend that they had, and how about the big news that there is a brand new track, Badlands, is going to be put together, Rocky Mountain House, Alberta, and I know Trevor's going to be able to fill us in on all what is to be taking place out at that speedway, and then back into Ontario, we'll catch up with Jade Franklin, driver of the number 31, and he is the Frosttoberfest 2020 Pro Limited Late Model, Pro Late Model.
Yep.
Winner, and Jade will join us. I also have some other clips that we'll be able to fill in as we go out through the course of the night, but Junior, that is what you call busy 2 hours right here on Race Time tonight.
It is for sure. And obviously there's some yabber in between. We gotta talk a little bit about everything that happened.
Yeah.
I have some, you know, I'm an opinionated guy. We want to cover off two topics to kind of kick it off and to kind of, you know, give some feedback from my perspective of what all took place. Flamborough Speedway, I think we can start it off with, it was a great event. Mike Schmidt and those guys, what a job that Mike Schmidt put on and Frank Caselli, John Caselli, those guys at Flamborough Speedway. you know, I spent a lot of time at Flamborough Speedway this year, and and more time than I've spent at Flamborough in a long time. Just a spectacular event, and you know, just want to you know, say thank you to everybody for allowing it to happen. It was a lot of fun.
Well, we'll get to lots more Flamborough Speedway talk in Frostoberfest 2020. But let's get to the hotline, shall we? And let's get this party started. Right now, we got a Canadian in victory lane once again in the Gander Truck Series. We got Raphael Lazard on this very hotline from Quebec. He is with us. What's going on there, Raphael? Congratulations on the huge, huge win, my friend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and it feels really, really good. It's a dream come true. I've been working really hard, trying to get better and trying to learn as fast as I could. And it was my second super speedway race ever, and I think I'm liking it. It was awesome.
I guess so. And that's how dreams happen, my bud. When you actually work hard to make those dreams a reality, that's what it takes. I know I've been tweeting out all summer long, really. Raphael Lazard is going to hit victory lanes real soon. It's the win is right around the corner. And sure enough, the truck race, the junior, and I can't watch because we're at Flamborough doing a live race. You go to victory lane. It's good, though. We can go back and watch it. And I know I look forward to doing that. Take us back through the race. It sounds like it was an exciting finish.
Yeah, the finish was awesome. My team at Cobush Motorsport and my spotter kept me calm all race long. We were riding when it was time to ride and taking care of our stuff. And we were right there at the end in position of winning. And we put ourselves in a position to be able to win and compete for the win. On the last restart, I restarted third behind Stuart Friesen. And my crew chief told me, he said, now it's go time. You don't listen. You just push as hard as you can, the guy in front of you, or you get pushed as hard as you can. So it was, that's what I did. And Stuart opened the door a little bit, and he was trying to block both lanes. And I kind of put my nose in on his inside, and then I took the lead. And then at some point, we were three wide, and Ben rode behind me, gave me a heck of a push on the backstretch. And then they started wrecking behind us. And when the caution came out, I was the leader of the race. And I couldn't believe it at first. Like, when the caution came out, I was just getting ready for another restart. And I was getting focused and just thinking about what I'm going to do on the next restart. And then they were like, yeah, the race is over, but we're not sure who's going to win. So on the cool down lap, I got back to 3 and 4, and they told me that I won the race, and I just screamed as hard as I could, thanked everyone, Toyota, TRD, Canac, a Quebec company that was on the truck for my first win in this series. It just feels amazing.
Raphael, you know, you come out of the short track realm of racing, and you spend a lot of time at the short tracks across Quebec, and have progressed through the ranks into the short tracks in the U.S. and into, you know, the top three series of NASCAR. We've all been there as short track racers. We've all been to the point where, you know, you finish the race and maybe the winner gets disqualified or you know, you move up a position because there's a call on the racetrack. But really, it seems like only the restrictor plate tracks where it goes back to a review. And you touched on it a little bit, but what was going through your mind while the review is taking place? Like, the adrenaline is at an all-time high, and nobody knows what is taking place up there in that review tower. What's it like to hear your spotter say, "We don't know if you won"? Like, it's got to be disconcerting to a driver, and there's got to be, you know, you're right on the edge of your seat waiting for that ruling.
Yeah, I didn't want it to believe that I won, because then after that I would have been mad to finish second. But I just I don't know, I was praying. And it's just sometimes those deal when they review the finish, so most of the time you're on the wrong side and you end up not winning. And this time we were on the right side of it, and we ended up winning. So it's perfect. It was a perfect race for us. We executed. We did what we needed to be there at the end. Keep the truck in one piece. I don't even think there's a mark on the truck. Probably the back bumper from getting pushed that hard, but that was perfect.
Yeah, you don't mind a little bit back there. And really, Mike Hillman Jr., your crew chief, he won't mind fixing that up. And nothing is going to bond you and that crew more tightly, if you will, than a win and to go to victory lane. Just sucks this time that you couldn't all be in victory lane all at one time. It was just you there in victory lane. It's a tough deal this year.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, usually when you win like that, you get up on your door and you look at the grandstand and the fans are cheering you on. And now, yesterday, there was no fans. My family wasn't there, my partners, my investor back in Quebec. Nobody was there. Only my girlfriend was there, though, so that was awesome. But and to celebrate with my team, I didn't get to celebrate with my team much at the racetrack because of all that virus, and we want to stay. We don't want to get too close to each other, and we want to respect all the rules they have put for us to be able to race. And yeah, I just can't wait to be able to get a team picture, probably at the shop this week with the truck, and it's awesome for my guys because I feel like most of my guys, it's been a while since they've been in victory lane, especially my crew chief, Mike Hillman, and they work really hard for it like I do. And it's just going to give them more confidence, and I think they're going to enjoy it's going to give them a boost for the rest of the season to work even harder on my truck.
Now, it is a pretty big tradition down there that when you make it to victory lane, the driver has to do something nice for the whole team. What are you going to do for your guys, or is it a big surprise? Are you going to buy lunch for them, or are you going to what are you going to do? What are you going to do to say thank you to all the guys?
We'll see. I'm still thinking about it, but hopefully I get something figured out and I give my team something good. But
Maple syrup. I think you got to give them all.
Yeah.
Give them all some maple syrup.
That's what I need to do. I thought about it, but I need to get some shipped to me pretty quick from my parents. But yeah, maple syrup is awesome. It's really good. So that would be a good idea. I thought about it, and I did it when I raced super late. We brought them some maple syrup, and they all enjoyed it. So
yeah,
maybe that's a good idea.
they'd love it. Raphael, it's just so special to hear that you won. I got to tell you, we were doing the live broadcast at Flamborough Speedway for Oktoberfest 2020, and we're all jacked up, and the broadcast is going. And I looked down at my phone, and my wife had sent me a text. And she said, I don't want to disturb you right now, but I got to tell you, Raphael won. He won the truck race. I went, oh, my God, I got to announce this right away. We put it out to absolutely everybody at Flamborough and through our live broadcast. And I'll tell you what, people were excited for you and for good cause, Raphael. You got a lot of fans up here that those American guys probably don't realize it, but there is a ton of NASCAR fans and a ton of Raphael and Stuart Friesen fans up here in Canada pushing for you guys.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I appreciate all the support from all my fans in Canada, in Quebec, in the United States. We're racing because of the fans that watch it on TV or that are at the racetrack in the grandstand. So just can't thank them enough for the support, and it's just I'm so happy. I don't even think I believe it yet.
Nah. You can hear the smile in this guy's voice, can't you?
I've been dreaming this since I was a kid, so it's just I'm just trying to enjoy it as much as I can.
I know. I heard your post-race comments from the media center, went back through and listened to it, and I heard you mention that as a young race fan in Quebec, you got your photo taken with Kyle Busch when he came up to one of the tracks in Quebec back when you were a young guy, and you got your picture taken with him. And now look, he's your boss, and you never ever anticipated that to be happening, But, man, it's a reality, and not only is he your boss, but, God, he's got to be a real happy boss because you took him to victory lane. You did that.
Yes. Yeah, I think he texted me, and I think he was really happy. And I've just been working really hard, and he's been helping me and giving me some advice before every race we go to, and about the racetrack and what I need to be fast. So it's been a huge help, and he's giving me a chance of a lifetime with Toyota this year to put me in great equipment and be able to compete full time in the truck series. So hopefully we get a good end of the season and we can figure something out for 2021 as soon as we can.
Now, Rafael, it's no shock to the people, you know, that are listening. There's a lot of pressure that goes into you guys from the Toyota camp, from the KBM guys. You know, we've seen it over the past couple of years with the drivers that have come through the ranks. There's a lot of pressure from Toyota and from KBM for you guys to go to victory lane. What was the reception like from Toyota themselves in seeing you get the job done? There had to be, like, obviously everybody was happy and everybody was excited about the win, but there's got to be a little bit of a weight lifted off your shoulders as well, because you actually did produce that W and you executed. Do you feel that pressure a little bit? Do you feel it relieved, or do you feel more pressure now to go get more?
There's always pressure, that's for sure. We're always racing with pressure because you never know what's going to happen. But, the next 2 weeks until the next race, I'm going to feel really good.
Absolutely.
And I'm just going to work really hard for the rest of the season. And I kind of loved to do my first burnout after a win on this Saturday. So I want to do it some more.
Yeah, KC comes up next for you guys, right? Are you Kansas City is the next race, or am I wrong on that?
Kansas, October 16th.
Nice. Perfect. And is that a good track for you? Have you been on that track before?
Yeah, we ran a doubleheader there earlier this year, and we really struggled with our truck, and the old team struggled there. We didn't have the setup figure it out, but we're going there with a different package this time, and I really enjoy racing there. I thought it was an awesome racetrack. You could run right by the wall or right on the bottom, line wrap, as low as you could, and now we're going, we knew what we did wrong, and we're going to go with another package, and hopefully it's a good one, and we can be really fast.
Yeah, and that's the nice part about it, right? The notebook that you guys are be able to rely on, and Mike Hillman Jr., you know that guy is going to be right on top of it. I guess what you'll have to do, Rafael, put in the memory bank. It was Ben Rowe that gave you, Ben Rhodes, he gave you a good shot in the shorts to send you up there. You'll have to repay that favor one day down the road. When Benny needs a little shove, you'll be right there to give him a tap.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We always remember those things, and he was part of that win, too, because he gave me a heck of a push, and I just can't thank him enough for that, but I was just trying to hold on to it, and man, it was a teamwork. My spotter did amazing, and my crew chief, my whole team, gave me an awesome Toyota Tundra, and they had the right strategy, because Mike Hillman, sometimes I was questioning his strategy. I was like, I want to make some move. I want to go. And he was like, no, not yet. And then at the end, when he let me loose right at the good time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good deal. It's super to see you in victory lane. And you know what? Just like cautions breed cautions, wins breed wins. You got the first one out of the way now, Rafael. You should be all set to set sail and go out there and get a bunch more. I know you're capable of it. That team is capable of it. And it's just good on you for absolutely all the success that you've had. And I know we can't wait to see what is next for you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, and thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. You go back to celebrating that victory, and we'll definitely keep our eyes glued on you. And how cool is that? You beat a Daytona 500 winner at Talladega. You did that, buddy. You did it.
Thank you. Yeah, it just amazing.
Well, and we did get a note here from Susie Q, the operator of the show here. She sent out a note here, and she said you could also give butter tarts.
Oh, you could.
That's
do that.
A Canadian thing to give.
Sure.
You know,
and
you just have to get in the kitchen and make your team some butter tarts there, Raphael.
He's going to have to
put
make
the apron
them.
On. Put the apron on and make a couple hundred dozen of butter tarts.
Yeah, I can see him texting his mom now. How the hell do I make butter tarts?
Get after it.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that.
Oh, come on. You can learn.
I'll ask my mom or my grandma. My grandma is probably really good at that.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
she
right.
She probably is.
That's right. Some Raphael specials.
Raphael, thanks so much for the time, buddy. Congratulations. We all love you up here, buddy.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Raphael Lazar, driver of the number 4 in that Gander truck
Tell
series.
Me that wouldn't be a fun viral video, watching Raphael in the kitchen making some butter tarts.
Wouldn't that be?
I mean, that's a sponsorship opportunity right there.
Well, you know what I'd be doing?
What's that?
I'd be getting my WeatherTech Cup phone out and holding my phone over just to watch that.
I can't believe you just threw the WeatherTech.
I would do it. I would do it.
You know, when you look at...
Got to do that for Justin, for...
That's right.
For LP.
That's right.
My buddy.
Yep. And, man, when you look at the excitement, you could hear the smile. Like, you know, it's funny. When you're interviewed, you can hear when somebody's smiling.
Yes,
on the phone, you know, or in person. You can hear when somebody's upset, obviously, but you can hear the smile even more. And, you know, I think every Canadian race fan that's listening, really any race fan in general, he's
yes.
a young kid.
Yep.
He's a young guy.
Young
and,
gentleman.
And
yep.
everybody loves seeing somebody break through, get that first win. I know, you know, we're obviously pretty pumped up. He's Canadian. And there's a tremendous amount of pride to be said when a Canadian goes to victory lane. And, you know, when we see the success that him and Stuart Friesen and Alex Labbe and those guys are having down there, you know, it's something so cool. And it proves if you're a young guy here in Canada, you're a young girl in Canada, whatever,
yep.
You've got a phenomenal opportunity right now. And guys like Raphael Lazard are paving that road, you know, and you've got that opportunity. You just have to work for it. You got to be smart about it. Put the deal together and get yourself down there and compete.
Yes, exactly. Well said. I just want to spin this quick clip we have with Trevor Bayne. Of course, if you didn't see the race, you got to go back like Junior and I are going to have to do to watch this truck race. But I can tell you it was a nail-biter finish, and it was Trevor Bayne in the 45 truck. Nice to see Trevor Bayne back in the truck, I might add. Here's what Trevor had to say in the media center about the finish of that race.
Yeah, so our race wasn't too crazy. We were able to play a strategy there to ride and take care of our truck. Since we're not in the playoffs there, we're not worried about stage points. We knew there'd be some early wrecks, so we kind of rode in the back for the first two stages. At the stage break for the third stage, we knew we were going to try to go and just kind of get on the back of some of those Chevrolets and pit together. And after the pit cycle, we found ourselves there in the top 10 and right where we wanted to be. So 15 to go. I told the guys, all right, we got to start making some runs and see what we can do. I've never driven a truck at a super speedway race before, so I had a learning curve on how to side draft, how to move around, what lane carried momentum. It's similar to a cup car, but a little bit different. So 15 to go, I started playing around with it, cost myself a few spots, but built some confidence in where to go. There at the end of the race, we had some great help, and we're able to work up through the middle there, the top at first, then get to the middle, caution comes out, and restart on the bottom. So kind of panicked, didn't know where we were going to go. Went to the top once it opened up and got some more help. So we were glad to be leading down the backstretch. And looks like we lost by 6 thousandths of a second. So I just need the yellow button clicker to be a little faster. He's going to have to work on his reaction time.
How cool is that? Trevor Bayne, I'm telling you, from knowing this guy, he is the real deal. He's the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. And how cool is that? That we're going to see him the rest of the year in that truck. Another reason to be excited to watch the Gander Truck Series.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, the backstory of him getting back behind the wheel, you know, he didn't get out because he wanted to get out.
No.
He got out, he was sick.
He was forced out.
You know, he was forced out, and, you know, to see him, you know, work on his health and to get back to where he's at, definitely pretty cool. I hate it, you know, and the race fan in me hates it to see you know, Ty Majeski be out of that opportunity, you know, and I don't think that, you know, it's a massively popular, deal to see, you know, across the industry to see Trevor Bayne in it and Majeski out. But the guy is a talented race car driver. He's got a tremendous amount of laps. It's a great move for Nice. The guy has an image. The guy has, you know, talent and he has something to prove. And he wants to get out there and get some wins. You know, it is cool to see. I'm not, you know, I'm indifferent to who is the driver. But in saying that, I you know, wish him all the best. And I really hope that Trevor Bayne goes out there and gets it done. And there's a lot of naysayers towards the end of his career.
And Trevor can do it.
He can do it.
You're damn right he can.
And it'll be interesting to see where that whole deal shakes out. And, you know, his brother is as well competing in late model racing across the Southeast. It'll be interesting to see what's in store for the Bayne family moving forward.
I'll tell you what, Trevor can not only win in a truck or anything that he gets in, but he makes a wicked, wicked cup of coffee. We're going to try and get Trevor on the show here one of these nights before the end of the season. But we are going to hit this break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more trucks too, because we do have Jason White coming up before the top of the hour that finished 25th. In the Talladega race, but we're hoping that he gets through customs and gets through his COVID test and we can catch up with him. But first, we're going to reach out to Tim Terry out on that East Coast, and we're going to wrap up things in the Maritimes next, right here on Racetime Radio. Stay with us.
I'm John Roberts. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is fired up by QuickWick Fire Starters. Available online at QuickWick.com. That's QuickWick, QWICKWICK.com. Use promo code RTR on your next purchase and save.
RevTV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. RevTV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. QuickWick Fire Starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. QuickWick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian, and so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com, enter promo code RTR, and save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. Oh, USA, live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
And Jeff Just like that, Wheelhouse brings us back after our first break. Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight on SiriusXM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Off we go now to Canada's East Coast and the brainiac out there that has his mind on absolutely everything. If it happens on a short track in the Maritimes, Tim Terry has either got his finger in it, on it, or around it. And he joins us now on the hotline after a real busy, busy weekend at Miramichi. How you doing tonight there, Timmer?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. Man, we had a good time at Flamborough yesterday for Frostoberfest, and it sounds like you had a decent time out there in the Maritimes. What all went down, buddy?
Yeah, we had fun at Speedway Miramichi this weekend, the very best fall shootout. It's one of those grassroots racing events, Joe. There's no, well, I shouldn't say that. There's no pro stock or sportsman or late model action on the racetrack, even though there was one car there. We'll get to that in a bit, but it was awesome to see the street stocks were the show. $1,000 to win, 100-lap race. And one of the former guests that we talked to earlier in the season on the show, Logan Power, went to Victory Lane, decided Thursday he was going to haul the street stock out of the stable and picked up, I don't know how much money, but he led a ton of laps, $1,000 to win in an 8-foot trophy. The trophy was taller than him.
And you know what, Tim? There's nothing wrong. Like these undercard divisions that we all have at Speedways, I know we sort of glance over them at times, and we always get to the meat on the bone, the big guys, the big stuff at that particular speedway or that particular zone at that time. But you know what? We don't have those guys if we don't talk about the starting divisions. And I know a little bit later in hour number two, I've got a couple clips of actually the mini stock winner from Frostfest and the pure stock winner, those kind of guys, because they mean as much to this sport as even the guys that went to Victory Lane today in the Cup race. And I know Junior's got a bunch to say about that later on.
Yeah, you go on about all the drivers that were there. It's the Sean Heisler, the Justin Coles, the Riley Goodwins, the Chris Wilsons. Those drivers got an opportunity to shine. Dan Smith hauled his Scotia Speedworld truck out of the ditch to come race with us and finish third. You know, there's so many storylines that went through that. James Matchett, hometown guy, finishes in P2. J.R. Lawson wrapped up the mini stock championship up there with a big 50-lap win. That car was destroyed 2 weeks ago at Petty Raceway when he was battling for the lead in the Mike Stevens Memorial. So there were so many storylines that came out of that. The demolition event had 57 cars. They great car count, awesome facility, awesome time. Can't wait to do it all again next year. Barry Richard has already said that we're going to do it on October 2nd, 2021. So he's already got his date firmed up and ready to go for 2021. So excited for it.
You got to love it. And I want to know how dazzling Dylan made out in that demolition derby. And I know I want to get Dylan on here. We'll try and get him on next week and actually talk to him. But how did he make out? Did he wreck the car without wrecking himself?
Well, the van overheated. We had a van that was in one of the previous derbies and put a belt on it and charged the battery up and pumped up the tires, and Dylan went out in it, and it started to overheat during the Dash for Cash. Got four laps in the Dash for Cash before it decided to go kaput. So he charged it up, put some water in it, and went back out for the figure eight race, finished the figure eight race. I don't think he was completely all ready for that demolition, but I think I actually talked to Barry Richard before I talked to you guys, and he said that they're already planning on getting something for Dylan for next year to work on a race car for him when he's available. So he did a good job. He impressed the track owners and impressed Doug Matchett. So I guess he's got a second ride coming up next year.
Good stuff. Now, how did you make out for winners in the actual event? I know it was your season finale, right? So how did it all shake out for big-time winners, and how did they do?
Well, Logan Power went to Victory Lane in that Street Stock 100, put on a great show. J.R. Lawson did the championship and also did the race win when it came to the mini stock division. Shout out to Briar Ellis as well, 18 years old, went to Victory Lane in the Street Stock Championship. Actually started on the pole, won the heat race, faded a little bit, still finished in the top five in the big 100 lapper, but took that championship away. Big story were the modifieds. Ease McRae went to Victory Lane and also took the championship. He kind of was struggling a little bit the last two races, Joe. He's kind of points racing, but at the end of the day, that points racing kind of bit him in the butt, had a couple of mechanical failures. That point lead started to dwindle, but he got on the chip when it absolutely needed to, and took away the Keswick Kitchen 35 and the championship in the Atlantic Modified Tour. So it was great to see. Adam Plourde took away the Bomber Championship. That division has grown in leaps and bounds as well. Great to see. And I think they started with six cars. I think they had 19 or 20 there yesterday. So with everything that's been going on with COVID and all the storylines on that end, Speedway Miramichi's had a really good season. Great to see them continuing to do what they do and pack people in the stands as long as they could be socially distanced and put some cars in the racetrack.
Now, you mentioned right off the top, you said there was no pro stock, no late model style car, but then you said, we'll get to that in a minute. What were you talking about? What were you talking about? So, well, there was one late model there?
There was one pro stock there, and would you believe that it was the Thrillmaker Craig Ward?
Ah! Okay.
Cool.
0-2.
Craig won a track championship there in street stock and won a ton of races in street stock. And he said, I want to support there and I want to support this event because this event has meant so much to me, but my street stock's not ready. So we called Barry Ricciardi and said, can I bring the pro stock and do a couple laps? And Barry said, absolutely. So he brought the pro stock car up, did a couple laps during the intermission portion of the show, and then paced the field out in front of the street stock race paced that field before he was told to get off the racetrack. I don't even think he wanted to leave the racetrack when he was pacing out there with the street stocks, but came off the racetrack and enjoyed some great racing. So it was great to see Craig up there. That track hasn't seen late model action in, I think, 5 years. I think it's been 2015, 2016 since they even saw a sportsman race up there. So I know the wheels have been turning for Barry. I know there's been some sportsman guys that have been chomping at the bit that want to get up there, and obviously I'm sure the pro stocks will be up there. I actually posted a picture that Craig was there. The first person to comment on that on Facebook was Sean Tucker. So, you know, I'd love to see Sean Tucker and Craig Ward and Kevin Moore and all those guys up there get to do battle in Miramichi again. But we'll see what the winter brings and see what kind of rumblings come from that.
You know, I look at short tracks like that, Miramichi, and of course, I think we have to loop Varney in there. But Varney, we're going to have the new owner of Varney coming on the program here.
Yep.
They've got a regular class of late models that Gord Bennett has kind of, you know, started that were kind of like an outlaw. There weren't a whole lot of rules with the class, but there was kind of a mix and match. They've had late model style cars there for a long period of time, right? They had limited late model back, going back like 4 years ago, and they had limited late models for a long time. But like a track like Varney, even though it's a really tiny racetrack, if a track like Martinsville can have 40 Cup cars on it, a short track like a quarter mile can have late models on it. There's no question about it. I honestly think that tracks like that are some of the best shows to have late model races at. You know, I think that if it's a tight bull ring style track, like I go back to Barry Speedway, for instance.
Sure.
Watching the NASCAR Pinney Series or watching the Oscar Super Late Models on Barry Speedway, tiny racetrack, very narrow, very tight corners, not a whole lot of banking. There's no, you know, a high horsepower car has no
nowhere to hide
at all, and I loved watching racing at those style tracks, and I think that I've seen Miramichi, I've seen it just in video and you know, obviously in photos and stuff like that. I've never been there in person, but I think that would be a great little racetrack to hold a great big late model invitational at.
Well, we did pro stocks back in 20, I think it was 15, back when Jason Carnahan owned the racetrack. The big thing there is tires. That racetrack hasn't been paved since it was built in the late 60s.
Perfect.
So it's got a lot. Yeah, exactly. It's got a lot of character. So the first thing that we thought when we went into that race in 14, 15, these guys are going to chew up tires. There's going to be a few cautions. I think we had one caution on lap 5. I think it was a 125 lap race. I think we went 120 green to the end.
Yeah.
So there's some ways around that. It's almost similar to what we had. Race-wise, it's the Parks Trucks Pro Stock Tour race that we had at Riverside, the Tourmont Cat 150, but it was a great race. Cassius Clark was up there. Jonathan Hicken took away the checkered flag that year. So there was a lot to race for. The sportsman guys are the same thing. They always put on a great show, whether it's Lonnie Somerville, Dave Oblinas, Kenny McKenzie Jr., the list goes on and on, the sportsman cars that competed there the last couple of years. So I'm excited to see what can come of it. The only downside is that with all the racing action, and obviously with COVID, everything's kind of messed up right now. But with the racing action that we have in the heart of the season, sometimes when we get to September, October, those budgets are eaten up. and those fields dwindle a little bit. But I'd like to see what Jason started and what Barry kind of dabbled with the sportsman cars is trying to build that back up and try to do something. But obviously it takes sponsors. It takes all that other stuff. So hopefully we can get the wheels turning. The momentum that Miramichi has in the Maritimes and also working with Petty Raceway and Speedway 660 as well. The momentum that the New Brunswick racetracks have right now is tremendous, and hopefully they can carry that over to next year.
Yeah, cool stuff. Tim, were you there shooting it live, or were you shooting it on demand? Can fans actually look in and find it?
Absolutely they can. We actually did the show live. I think it was our third live show that we did with Tim's Corner TV. So you can head over to timscorner.tv and take a look at the on-demand replay that we have from last night. It's a longer show. It's when you include the demo and when you include the stock car racing action. I believe it's 7 hours. It wasn't a short show. Let's put it that way. But they can go over there and check that out. With our on demand or with our monthly subscription, we're going to go to Sydney next week. We're going to do the Thanksgiving Thunder. We're going to do that one live. So if you pick up your monthly subscription, you get that. You get the Speedway Miramichi race we just did, and everything that we've done so far this season. So the Bubble Busters at Petty Raceway, the Remax 250 at 660. List goes on and on of all those races that we've done so far this year, and you get that all included with the monthly subscription.
Yeah, lots to watch. That's the key to it, right? You get lots of stuff that you can check out. You mentioned Sydney. That is your next stop and probably the final one for the Maritimes, correct?
Yeah, that's that plan right now. It's the Thanksgiving Thunder. It's our second annual event. Talked to Greg Dow a little bit earlier. He's pretty excited to get the cars back on the racetrack. We were there actually last week. The sportsman count was a little low. We're expecting to see, you know, guys like Brandon Carter and Lori Cormier and a few others make that track up to come compete. Lori won that race there last year, but our sportsman race that we had last week, we had three cars finish the race, and they finished three wide coming to the checks. So it was a great 35-lap race. Chris Reed went to victory lane in that one. Had to pass Lyndon McDougall on the outside on the last lap, and Ronnie McKay was right there with them. They put on one heck of a show. So I'm really excited for the sportsman portion of it, presented by Robbie's Towing on Sunday, October 11th. And we got the Pukehashe Memorial Street Stock 52 on Saturday. Full weekend of racing. And the great thing is I talked to Greg Dow, and in the mini stock division up there, Cody Quinn hasn't been beaten in 12 races. So we came up with the Cody Quinn bounty. His number is 88. So we're going to have a weekend championship. There's four 35-lap races for mini stocks. Each race is going to pay $88 to win. We're going to have a champion that's going to pick up $300. But if Cody Quinn can be shut out on the weekend and not win the event championship, the champion is going to pick up $888. So there's a potential for a $1,200 payday for a mini stock guy coming up this weekend in Sydney. So that's huge for that four-cylinder division.
Man, they'd be able to go buy a new car.
Absolutely. There's some parties to be had in Sydney, let's put it that way, and that could be a real party starter.
No kidding. Tim, for a wacky, wild, undescribable, just a terrible COVID season, you guys have done a good job out there in the Maritimes for at least getting some cars on the track and getting some premier races under the belt and into the history books. And just congratulations on all you guys have done out there, all the track owners and, you know, guys like Ken Cunning and Riverside and Cecil Vance and all of you. Just a good job for such a messed up year. You guys did a great job out there.
Yeah, with the Atlantic bubble and everything being as closed on our borders as they can be, it's really great to see everybody pull together. And you mentioned those track owners, especially in the province of New Brunswick, where you had Petty Raceway, Speedway 660, and Speedway Miramichi working together. They had a couple of races this year where they had the same date. Speedway Miramichi and 660 would run the same night, or Miramichi and Petty would run the same night, but they'd have different divisions. So for a race team that has a four-cylinder car, or they have a street stock, or they might have a sportsman, there's one racetrack that's running those divisions that night, so they can go there and enjoy some racing, and the fans can go wherever they want to and enjoy a night of racing at one racetrack or the other. So New Brunswick has really done well, not only through the COVID deal, but also working together to try to build the sport the way it is. And Lake Dowsett Motor Speedway had some racing this year in Nova Scotia. Obviously, Sydney Speedway, we're going there this weekend. Riverside Speedway, the race last week was phenomenal. Congratulations to Nicholas Noggle on that win. Greg Proud. I still feel for Greg Proud, led 137 laps of that race, ended up not going to victory lane in that brand-new race car, but his day will come. I know Greg still had a little bit of a smile on his face, but you knew it was killing him inside after that event. So, and of course, Scotia, as we were, had their weekly racing series too. So it was a great season considering all everything that was going on.
What a heartbreaker for Greg. You know, just like you said, he's going to bounce back. I can't wait. Hopefully, Timmy, we can put all this behind us in 2021. Can be a normal season, and we can all get back together. And like Junior said many times on this show, we are going to learn something from this COVID year. It sounds crazy, but we are actually going to learn something from this that's going to apply for years to come. And, you know, tracks working together, whether it's all those different things that made up this COVID year. I believe he's right. We're going to learn something from this that's going to make short track racing better, believe it or not.
Yeah, I believe it is, too. When you look at everything that's been going on, there might be some similarities or some things that stick around from 2020 into 2021. Obviously, with Nova Scotia's rules, they're a little different than New Brunswick. PEI hasn't seen a race this year, and they're probably, obviously, with us being in October, they're not going to see a race this year at Oyster Bed Speedway. So it's been a little bit of a trying year for some. Obviously, New Brunswick has benefited more, I think, than any other province around here. But as long as they can continue to do what they're doing and learn some things from this season and put forward into 2021 and beyond, I think it's going to strengthen our sport. And we've seen the car counts. We've seen everything. Even the demolition division, Speedway Miramichi had 57. I think it was on Saturday night. They had 67 in September for their demolition event. So motorsports in general is fairly strong out here, and it continues to grow.
Yeah, good deal. Timmy, thanks so much for this tonight and getting us all wrapped up for out there. I know we'll check in with you again in the real near future to wrap up Sydney, and then we'll talk some iRacing. It'll be back to the snow flying time and back to playing on virtual reality, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? We actually have an event planned for November. I don't have the date in front of me. I believe it's November 20th. I've already talked to Mike James, and Dylan Langell's already ready to go, so we're going to open signups for that this week, and we're going to do a super late model 300 to kick off the off season per se in November. So that should be fun. But still in the swing of things when it comes to the real world, and you know, coming off of Speedway Miramichi and their great race up there. And, you know, we had a party afterwards. It was a great time. And but now it's time to put the business face on and get ready for Sydney Seaway and the Thanksgiving Thunder. And maybe have some turkey at the end of it. I'm not sure. I think Frankie's going to cook some.
Ah, good deal. Yeah, I heard he's pretty handy that way. Hey, bud, gobble, gobble. You have a good one, and I know we'll check in with you again real soon, Tim Terry.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good week and enjoy Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, we sure will. That's Tim Terry. You can check out, as he mentioned, all that different racing that he has done and shot. Get to timscorner.ca, and you'll be able to check it out. Pick up a subscription. You never know. You can watch some great short track racing from the Maritimes in the off season. Okay, a quick break, and then we're going to try and check in with Jason White coming off a 25th place finish at Talladega in his truck. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans, this is Ernie Irvin. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work, no paper or kindling, and presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. Quick Wick. They work.
From two wheels to four and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name,
Nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Men, morning men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchak. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me, I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady. Me, anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You, talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports. Me, I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio.
And just like that, we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks, little wheelhouse, little screaming coming back. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? Our next guest, he took on Talladega Super Speedway just yesterday, and now he's been flying ever since, and hopefully at his destination. He finished 25th in yesterday's truck race. He's from Sun Peaks, BC, and of course, you know, Jason White. What's going on tonight there, Mr. White? How did you make out?
Oh, hey, guys. How are you?
Not bad.
Well, you know, in life, sometimes when you say you really wish you could have that one back, that's definitely, I wish I could have that one back. And we had some really, really good flashes there of being really fast. And unfortunately, we couldn't get fuel into the truck on the pit stops. Something was going on with the fuel mechanism, and we were hanging out on the lead lap, and we were lined up four deep or five deep with the Nice Motorsports trucks of Trevor Bain and Curry and Kaz Grella, and we just logged laps through the first two stages, and I really kind of got comfortable with the track and the truck sucking up, and then that happened. So just really, really disappointing for sure.
I wouldn't doubt it, my friend. Daytona is where you were the last time in a super speedway race. Talladega feel like Daytona? Any similarities? I know they're both restrictor plate races, but do they feel anything close to one another? Were you comfortable right off the bat with no practice?
Well, when I first got there on Friday, I had some medical stuff. I had to do my concussion protocol test, and I had to do some stuff on Friday. And I drove in there, and it was pretty awestruck. I've never even set foot on the grounds before. But yesterday morning, when I drove through that tunnel, I got pretty nervous. I'm not gonna lie, I got pretty nervous. So it was really a kind of a good thing that there wasn't a whole bunch of stuff, you know, to happen before the race and the invocation. So we only had a couple hours to think about it. And, going down into turn three after taking the green at full song, I actually questioned myself for sure. I wondered what I was doing, but she stuck. And then once I got, four or five laps under my belt, it felt just like Daytona did. It's the same truck. It's the same thing. You know, really the only difference is it's a little bit more banked, and you can go three wide there, no problem. But the trioval flattens out right after the trioval; it goes flat. And at Daytona, it's more of a bank through the trioval, so you can really get loose. There's a seam there down on the bottom lane, and it's funny because the simulator has the same thing, and it feels exactly the same. But it's flat down there. Then there's the new asphalt seam, and you can get your air under your spoiler and get really loose through there, which I did a couple times. But other than that, it's just very, very similar to Daytona.
Well, you brought it home in one piece, and that's what you needed to do, was bring it home in one piece. Enjoy yourself, have a good race, and sounds like you checked all of those boxes. If you could have got it back, you would have done something different. But is that it for you now, or do you got another, do you got perspective more? Because usually you go down and do it once, and you got to do it again.
No, I think that's probably going to be it for the year. We'll gear up and see what happens in the world here in the next couple months, and hopefully gear up for Daytona. You know, park the truck again with not even a scratch on it. So every time we do that, they can take it back to the shop and they can work on massaging it, making it faster rather than fixing it. And they did that from Daytona to Talladega. It was faster. I was actually trail braking all the way down the back straightaway with Trevor Bayne ahead of me. And like I said, the Nice Motorsports truck. And then there was a point just after the second stage where I actually got up with all the KBM trucks. And by the way, congratulations to Raphael. I saw him after. He was just absolutely on cloud nine. He totally deserved that win. But I got behind the KBM trucks and I sucked all the way up. And then they left me hanging. They dropped down into the bottom lane and I got put in the sucker hole. And I went all the way back to about 23rd or something like that. But then we were just riding around waiting for our fuel window. And we had to pit under green, and as you know, when you're pitting under green, especially there at 190 miles an hour, it doesn't take long to go down a lap. So we couldn't get the fuel can to hook up to the fuel mechanism on the truck, and then finally they switched cans with my teammate and they got the fuel in there. But you know, it definitely showed speed, and I've again learned more. I actually started thumping on some people, which I haven't done yet before. I wasn't confident enough, but I started really giving some guys some shots there, and seeing, you know, you can launch somebody 3-4 car lengths with a shot if you do it right. And I started working on that a little bit. So hopefully next time I can you know, get a little bit better at that each time out.
Well, we only got another minute and a half, and we got to throw it back to Toronto for news, highlights, and updates. But, Jay, I want to ask you, will this parlay then into a ride for Daytona, or has that been determined just yet?
I got a pretty good relationship with Raymond Brothers Racing, and every time I bring the truck home in one piece, that I think solidifies it a little more. So I think we'll be pretty good. We're going to work towards it. It's got a lot to do. I got to do some quarantine time here now when I got, you know, back in Canada now. So I got to work from the motorhome probably. Melissa's going to put me in the motorhome in the doghouse. So
yeah,
I'll work from home for a bit, and we'll think about racing when the time comes. But right now it's time to get back to the grindstone, get back to work, and enjoy it. I mean, you know, Talladega was fun. I did it, and I can't wait to do it again.
Well,
sure.
Those BC dealerships have got to be happy. All the sponsors on that truck got to be happy with what you did. 25th place ain't bad, Jay.
Yeah, you bet. Your GMCTruckStore.com has been a supporter of mine for a long, long time. And BRX Simulators is on there this week, too. So, and Powder Ventures Excavating, obviously. But, yeah, you know, like I said, I'm a race car driver. I can't wait to do it again.
Well, you did us proud, I can guarantee that. Jay, thanks so much for the time tonight. And look at that. We didn't even have to stick one of those sticks up your nose.
Right on. I get one of those tomorrow.
Well, I'm glad I'm not you today. I can guarantee that. Jay, thanks so much for the time.
All right. Thanks, boys.
Talk you betcha. Jason White, he went down to Talladega. He got her done. He had fun. He learned. And watch out. Maybe Daytona will have him back in a truck. But we do have to throw it back to Toronto for news highlights. Takes 90 seconds. And then hour number two begins right here live on Racetime Radio. Paul Trepanier coming up. We got lots still to come. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And, oh.
Perfect! Woo!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins live tonight on Race Time Radio, Sirius XM. We also want to welcome our listeners in on the Performance Motorsportnetwork.com. Throughout the course of the week, airs Race Time Radio a bunch. And Gearhead Country Radio, 98.9 XFM, Andy Gaddish. Or maybe you're tuned in on demand. And I know everybody likes tuning in when they feel like it, and that's cool. You can do that on racetimeradio.com, or you can go to iTunes and just search Racetime Radio, and presto, you'll have it right there. Hit like, subscribe, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. But how about this? We had some huge news right at the end of last week. We got one of our short tracks here in Ontario that's got a brand new owner. He purchased Varney Speedway. That is Full Throttle Motor Speedway. And I'm sure we got a new name change coming up. But let's welcome in the brand new owner. His name, Paul Trepanier. If I pronounced it right. Paul, did I butcher your name or did I get it right?
You got it right.
Look at that.
You got to love it. How are you tonight, Paul?
Oh, pretty good. How are you, Joe?
Not bad at all. Congratulations on the purchase of your new short track. Man, oh man, you're about to dive into the deep end, my friend.
Yep. Timing is everything. I think next year will be a good year.
Absolutely.
You know what? I agree with you. I agree with you. We're coming off a real junk year and now heading into something that I hope this pandemic is gone and we'll be able to get back to life the way we all sort of really enjoy it. But, Paul, you don't come at this like totally green like I came at it 25 years ago. You actually are a race car driver, and you've raced around this province lots on dirt tracks, right?
I've run UMP late models. I've run asphalt late models, and I started racing in Hurricane Midgets.
Gotcha. So, obviously, you know, going back through the backstory, it's got to be a cool story. Every story within racing, it seems like there's more of a backstory to it. But in the rumor mill, obviously, the rumor mill, which as a racer, you know how deep that gets. But there's all sorts of speculation and what Paul's doing with the track and this and that. What's your vision, Paul? I guess this is kind of the vision board is this winter for you. What's on the horizon for your racetrack? I think every racer, you know, has an opinion on what should happen at their local short track. This is your opportunity now to carve out your own destiny. What do you see on the horizon for your speedway?
I want to get it back to grassroots racing. We're going to do a bunch of upgrades, stands, maybe a repave, and push forward into 2021. Keep it asphalt, run pretty much the same classes with an add-on of the Ontario Pro Sprints.
Cool.
So you do have a soft spot, not just for dirt, but, man, you like your pavement, too, if you're talking repaving the track.
Yes, I like this high bank bull ring, and we run the Tell City tires on the late models and the street stocks, and they work really good. Good cost-cutting measure for the teams and an equalizer.
Yeah, and you know what that would all be about, right? With having your own race team, you obviously love racing, but there is a line where, you know, you got to keep the expenses in check, and that's got to be critical.
100%. If the racing gets out of hand, only a few can do it. If the racing gets put in check, many can do it.
So that'll open it up that way. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now, will Gord Bennett, the guy that you bought the track from, will Gord Bennett still be hanging out, helping you out throughout the course?
Gord Bennett's going to be running Grand Bend Speedway.
Okay.
Okay, so that was the initial plan. Gord had Varney and Grand Bend. So I guess so he's going to go over there. I guess your purchase has nothing to do with Grand Bend then?
No, Grand Bend is a separate entity, and he will be running that on Sundays. Full throttle speedway at Varney will continue on Saturdays.
Gotcha.
Very good.
So the actual staff side of things, Paul, do you have, you know, a race director lined up? Do you have all that stuff lined up? Or if somebody wants to get involved, how do they do that?
We have most of the existing staff with a bunch of new add-ons. We'll be bringing in some new people in various spots. We haven't quite got everything covered, but we've secured four or five primary sponsors in various classes. It will turn out really good.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, Varney and Full Throttle, Gord did a great job at that facility, as did Tom Donnelly and Alex Hamilton. And, oh, the list goes on and on, that the owners that we have seen throughout the course of time. And that facility has a very deep history behind it. And it's kind of cool, Paul, that you're going to be able to continue that history and actually grow the facility into the future. And that's real cool. I guess the difficulty right now with the pandemic, it's going to be a little hard to get everybody together so you can, you know, get in front of them and say, hi, guys, I'm the new owner. Or have you raced there? I believe you raced there this year, didn't you?
Yes, I ran a late model here this year. What we're going to probably do within the next month or two is once restrictions are a little looser, we'll do a meeting class by class, keep the counts down, social distance, and move forward from there.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Now, how about logo-wise and track naming? Are you did you create your own company, or did you pick up Gord's company? What is the deal there?
We basically picked up the company. We're going to run under the Full Throttle Motor Speedway at Varney. Keep it simple. If you change the name, you confuse too many people. Better to go with it. It's established now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, Ducasse Cayuga, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's
or CTMP Mossport, right?
There
it's,
you go.
It's, yeah, it's, you know, definitely.
I call Ducasse Cayuga.
So do I, and I got my
an old slack.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's funny. Looking at, you know, towards the middle portion of the year, I guess it was in July, there was a posting that Full Throttle was going NASCAR with the NASCAR Weekly Series. Will that continue into 2021? Is there any potential there with the NASCAR branding within
and
Full Throttle?
I don't believe that even materialized. It was on again, off again, on again, off again. Or did it materialize?
Yeah, I don't know what the backstory is there. I just want clarification, because talking this weekend at Flamborough, there was a lot of talk about that, if they were going to go NASCAR or what the plan was there. So can you clarify that a little bit?
They were going to go NASCAR last year, till the pandemic hit. Then NASCAR didn't want any of the home track series to run under their logo in case of any lawsuits due to COVID. But then they said they could run after, but then everybody was counting on not running. So it just kind of washed itself out. I don't think we're going to go that way. I want to build hometown grassroots, you know, keep the big money out of it, more or less, you know.
Yeah, and try,
keep it simple.
Try and get teams back on the racetrack, and that is the name of this game now, Paul. I can't emphasize that enough. We're going to have a difficult time as an industry on the other side of this pandemic to get the guys involved that we even had involved before, because the effects of this pandemic reach far and wide, as you know.
It has, for sure, but and that's another reason for keeping the cost low. Like in our late model division, with those tires, guys are buying one set of tires and running a year or two on them. They're synthetic. They come in at 65 durometer from lap one to lap 3,000.
That's perfect. And as a late model driver, you'd know all about it. You would have ran on those tires yourself this year.
I ran all year. I practiced all year. One of the cars that won here often, the 01 at Travis Farrell, was running on last year's tires and still waxed in the field. So,
good deal.
It can be done. Our rules are set up good. A full-blown APC car could come. Your only rule is you got to run to Tall Cities.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right, right. And you guys supply those tires, I would take it, at the track, do you?
100%. We have them in stock for our street stocks, our late models. And, I mean, it just cuts the cost down so much for the driver. Who has an $800 a year tire budget in a late model? It's unheard of.
Yeah, that's true. Uh-huh. Now, will this be a full-time deal running the racetrack for you, Paul? Or do you have something else that keeps you busy throughout the course of the week and you're going to do this off to the side?
It will transition. I will be here full-time in race season. I run a trucking company as well. And I will be phasing to relocate right out here to the track.
Oh, good deal. So you're going to move right there?
Going to build a house right on the property. It's a 100-acre parcel.
That's exciting, for sure.
So whereabouts is the trucking company now?
Well, we basically haul RVs. I'm based out of Petrolia, which is about 3 hours away. But everything we pick up is in Indiana, and it's all headed west, so it's not really that big of a deal. The guys bring their trucks home. I can coordinate that while I'm running the truck.
Absolutely.
Sure. Load them up and build your house. You can all run it all right from the house, right?
100%.
Oh, the good part for you, the bad part for everybody else is you're going to be able to practice whenever you want, right in your backyard.
I won't be racing, no. To me, it'd be a conflict of interest. I will stay neutral and poised for a different position here.
Nah, good for you. Good for you. And you know what, Paul? It sounds crazy, but it's probably a good call.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's a dream come true. Always wanted to own and run a racetrack. Love racing. Can't get enough of it.
Paul, good for you.
Is there any chance, down the line of seeing, a race like an APC series race at Full Throttle? Is that an aspiration for you guys? I know that, there's been plenty of talks in the background before. It seems like it's the only track in Ontario that hasn't had an APC race yet. Would that be something that would be on the on the horizon? Is that something that you guys are interested in doing?
I am looking into that. A few different traveling series, including APC. Okay. I did all my work at McCall's on my car. I ran a McCall car. I like Mike and the clan down there, so bringing in APC would make sense to support him and his business.
Well, and you know what? It's always said, you couldn't run a late model like that at Varney. Well, I'll tell you what. We ran All-Star at Barrie Speedway quite easily.
I guarantee
you. And they were some of the best races we had, action-wise. Now, I got to tell you, the Victory Lane photos, I can remember, I believe it was Tim Ellis's car, had no front end on it. But he was in Victory Lane. But I'll tell you what, the place was packed and the action was hot.
I would be at that race with bells on. I guarantee it. Not that I wouldn't be at any race. I love racing in general. But that is a place where, I would love to see 25 or 24 APC cars take the green. At that racetrack would be phenomenal. Not that every series that races there isn't phenomenal. I've watched tons of racing at Varney. It's a cool track. It's just you know, it is a driver's racetrack through and through. You can make time with a wheelbarrow there if you're a good driver. And you know, it's a place where you have to get momentum. You have to keep momentum. And it's a place where you can pass. You could use the top side. You could use the bottom. But in saying that, it's tight enough where it would keep it everything exciting.
Oh, yeah.
It would be, you know, one of the best races that I've ever watched, you know, going back through the memory bank here. But we watched a Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup race at, yep, at Full Throttle.
Yep.
And they had 22 cars, took the green flag. And I'm telling you, that was one of the most exciting races I've ever watched. You know, I love that facility. So hats off, and I definitely wish you all the best. Thank you for, you know, there's too many stories of racetracks falling by the wayside right now. To see somebody buy a racetrack right now is, you know, I think the entire racing community definitely echoes this and echoes a big thanks to you and your family and your contribution to the sport. And I think everybody wishes you the all the best.
I really appreciate that. And I've always loved this track. It's very unique. I call it the Mini Bristol.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, and you're not far wrong. I'll tell you that. That is a dynamite track. It would be Canada's Bristol if you loaded it up with those APC cars on a Saturday night lookout. It would be kind of cool. Paul, this has been great catching up with you. How do fans, you know, people that participate at the Speedway, how do they reach out to you? How do they get a hold of you? What's the best way?
Well, if you're interested in running any classes, doing any sponsoring, any key things, would be best to reach me straight to my cell phone, 519-791-7326.
Well, there you go. You can't get any better than that when the boss gives you the phone number. Paul Trepanier, we sure appreciate your time. I know I look forward to meeting you and getting together over the offseason. We'll get you back on Racetime Radio and see how things progress, bud.
That is awesome. I appreciate that.
No problem. That's Paul Trepanier. Watch out. He's going to have some really cool stuff coming down the pipe for Varney Motor Speedway. Got brand new owner. Paul is excited, and that will generate some excitement for race fans and for teams. Good news. That's definitely good news. We are going to take a break. When we come back, out to the West Coast we go. Trevor Siebert, Area 27. We're going to catch up with him next live right here on Racetime Radio. Stay with us.
Hi, race fans. This is Brad Keselowski. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
Seems like I've been lost, and let's remember.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bolt shopping.
Hey, so
I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce, but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog,
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. Quick fire starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. Quick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian. And so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com. Enter promo code RTR and save up to 20%. And they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
RevTV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. RevTV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward.
You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Fox News Headlines 24-7 is on Sirius XM with headlines every 15 minutes.
I'm Kevin Brincone.
I'm Therese Crowley.
I'm Jim McKay.
A channel that delivers your world news, business, what's trending in digital, entertainment, and sports.
Your news in a way you've never heard before with headlines every 15 minutes.
Fox News Headlines 24-7. All the information you need, ready when you are.
We're live from America's News Headquarters.
Sirius XM Channel 115 or listen on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. What do you say we get back to the hotline, shall we, and go all the way out to British Columbia, and let's bring in a guy I haven't personally talked to in a couple of years, I believe, and I always look forward to catching up with him. Avion Motorsports' Trevor Siebert. What's going on tonight there, Trev? How you doing?
Hey, Joe, how you doing? Yeah, it's been a couple of years. We have to talk more often, don't we?
Yeah, no kidding. I'll tell you what, you've been lighting the lamp. First of all, let's talk about this weekend. I think you got you guys had a season finale race out there for Avion, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We this weekend, we're actually in the lucky dog. The I don't know how lucky it was for us because we had some car problems, but we were running the two Enduros that we have at Area 27, so we were doing that this weekend, and unfortunately the car just blew up with about 15 minutes left to go in the race. We had some trouble earlier on today, so that didn't go that great, but a very fun weekend overall. We had a very good turnout. I think they started 48 cars or something there yesterday, so that was exciting to see, and a lot of non-member participants that came from all over the place, and it was very exciting. And with the border being closed, to have that many cars show up from and not being able to have any U.S. Competitors was actually pretty thrilling to see that kind of a turnout still.
So if it was a 16-hour and 45-minute race, you and Riley would have done okay.
Yeah, we would have done much better, that's for sure. But, you know, that's what makes those races so exciting. And, I used to do a few of them back in the 90s, and I did the 24 hours at Daytona with Dodge and the Viper and stuff, and brought back some really good memories, actually, of how that goes, from when you're really used to doing a lot of shorter races the last few years, and you kind of remember how those go, and they're way more exciting for the team that's left standing in the pit lane, I guess, because there's way more strategy and way more things going on for them. So it's a pretty cool weekend all in all.
Well, you guys have really, really done it. This year it has been a real growth year for absolutely everything. Avion Motorsports for Area 27. Big announcement that just came out last week with the Badlands. The Badlands in Alberta. There's another resort getting put together. And you guys are going to help those guys out. Tell us about it.
Well, absolutely. Jay Zalazzo was the founder of that particular facility, and him and his father have done an unbelievable amount of work over the last probably 10 years to put that whole place together as far as getting zoning. And, it's very hard to build racetracks when it comes to getting any kind of approvals anymore. It's not the Wild West even out here anymore. And so they worked very diligently, but they got themselves in a position there probably, a couple of years ago where they just needed a little bit of help to push it over the hump, I guess is the best way to put that. And they saw what myself and my team at Avion Motorsports was able to do at Area 27 with the engineering and the construction and helping out with a lot of the, the membership sales and those type of things. And so we got a call there, probably 12 months ago now, and we started work with them, and then we really ramped it up this year with putting it in high gear and finishing off, helping them finish off a lot of the design work, the engineering, and that kind of stuff. And so we took a big bite of the equity side of that, a leap of faith again on another facility, but very, very excited about it. They got a beautiful piece of property that they have out there. I have an office in Alberta, and I've been out there for 20 years, and everybody thinks of Alberta, myself included, especially coming from BC, that it's fairly flat land. But this particular property was a bit ho-hum when I went out there until I saw it, and I went, wow, okay, I definitely want to be involved. They found a very unique piece that's got lots of elevation change to it. It's got a river that actually runs through a portion of it. It's just beautiful. So I'm very excited about what we're going to do with that place.
Yeah, I've seen the renderings, and reminds me a little bit like the Okanagan, really, when I seen the original stuff for Area 27. It looks pretty picturesque the way it looks in those renderings. Going to be kind of cool. Now, is it going to be a facility that's open to the public, or is it going to be club-based?
It's going to be a club-based facility with of course, a lot of set aside for racing in schools and corporate event days and that type of stuff as well. But, you know, Joe, unfortunately, the whole business model where we put bums in the seats and hope we can pay for the place by doing it that way is for the most part gone away. I mean, there's still some successful tracks around. I know your previous guest, although I missed most of his interview, is doing that. So I'm not going to step on and say that's impossible because it's not. But brand new road course facilities and stuff like that, this is the only model that I know that can work anymore to make it financially viable. And so yes, we're going down that path too. The one thing that I did when they asked me to come on board there and you know, take the lead on most of the stuff is I really want to have a bit more of an opportunity, if you will, for, let's call it the blue-collar people, or the blue-collar racers anyways, mm-hmm. you know, and track people. There's a lot of car nuts out there that that simply can't afford to go out and buy high-level memberships. So we certainly have the high-level stuff as well, but we've got an opportunity there to get in at more of a basic level. So when we can't have it being open to the public, we've gone a long way to make it accessible to just about anybody who's a car nut or an enthusiast.
And that's really where the RS1 series probably has been developed, right? Or am I correct in that? Because you guys have come a long way with that series.
Come a very long ways, and it is kind of part and parcel with my theory around what racetracks should be and what the racing series should be. You know, I've been telling everybody, in my opinion, racing has been decimated in Canada for sure. You know, and things have been changing. So we have to think differently about how we go about these things. And so when I developed the RS1 series, it was, you know, our car is every bit as good as anything you'll see racing in North America when it comes to a stock car. But I found a way to make it a lot more palatable from a financial perspective. And one of the ways of doing that, you know, was to make it, and we run two classes, I guess. And so we share the car with two drivers. So when we have race day, we run in the morning. We run two races in the morning that are what we call the challenge class. And that's more of a novice class. And then we run the afternoon, which is expert. And then we call that the cup class. So you're dividing the cost of the car in two right there alone. Mm-hmm. And then just the formula that we use when we designed and built the cars makes our running costs considerably cheaper. And so, yeah, absolutely. I have the same kind of theory towards how we go about constructing a racetrack that is second to none, yet more accessible than most when it comes to the economics.
We're with Trevor Siebert tonight, live on Racetime Radio. Of course, Avion Motorsports out in BC, Area 27, now another track coming up in Alberta. All good news. Trev, you are one of those guys, and good on you for doing what you're doing. You bring a lot to the table, not only from, you know, the building standpoint, but from a race-based family. You guys have really covered all the bases. You've ran the National Tour. You've ran IndyCars. You've ran all of it. So what you bring to the table is phenomenal. Kind of cool. When do things sort of head to Alberta to start work on that track?
Well, you know, of course, there's been a whole lot of work going on behind the scenes for myself and my team and Jay, the initial founder of the resort. And so that's ongoing every day. But when do we actually turn dirt? We would like to start that early in the spring, as soon as weather permits. You know, we started Area 27 on February 2nd, and we were racing on it, or driving on it at least, September 4th of the same year, which in itself is also pretty much unheard of. Alberta is a bit trickier because, you know, your weather window isn't quite the Okanagan, but it's awfully close. You know, favorable weather in the southern part of Alberta for sure. But I would venture to say that, you know, we'd be out there by mid-March at least, you know, to be able to do start some construction where, you know, the snow's gone away and the temperatures allow.
Yeah, well, the frost levels would be a little different, right, Okanagan versus Alberta, but the principles are the same.
They absolutely are, for sure. I mean, it's we learned a lot building Area 27. It was a great model to work off of for me, and lots of experience now in how to go about it. It's, I always tell people it's kind of like when you build a new house. You know, you should have put an island in the kitchen. I should have done this a different way or whatever, but... you know, so we learned a bit. We didn't make too many mistakes, in all honesty, but we made a few that I changed, and so I get an opportunity now to take that experience and use it for the build in Alberta.
Yeah, dynamite stuff. So Area 27, it's safe to say that it's completed off or 99.9% complete now?
It certainly is, Joe. Like, We built the track initially, and then the next thing that came along about 3 years later, because we're in our fourth year right now, we built the clubhouse, a phenomenal looking building that we built there last year. It's definitely proved its worth. And then we also built last year the go-kart track. So those are the three big things, the track, the go-kart track, and the clubhouse that we promised our members that we would do. You know, the teasers, I guess, were the garages and the mechanics areas and things like that, that we certainly have plans on. Those would be the next step. But fully functional now, you know, Area 27, it's got its wheels under it, so to speak, and it's rolling along and doing very well.
Trevor, one of the things, and I've actually had this conversation with other people, but what is the comparison, you know, on the cost side of things to like a premium golf membership or skiing membership? Like, is that what you guys view your main competition as for this, or is it like, what is the comparison there? What is the competition to your business model?
Well, I don't know if I could. I'd have to think a little bit more to answer properly on the competition side, but we most certainly looked at how golf memberships are structured.
Yep.
You know, and our chairman, Dave King, who is a very astute businessman and is chairman of a board of a particular company that conveniently owns about 26 high-level golf courses, member-based golf courses around North America. So, you know, he brought a lot to the table when we were doing Area 27 on his knowledge on member-based stuff that way. You know, what to do, what not to do, what your members will expect, and, you know, not to overpromise and, you know, all those type of things. So it is very much like a golf membership, and we look at that a lot, even after now that we're up and running. You know, you're going to get some turnover. People get older. They, you know, don't want to use a track, or they've run the course and they want to sell their membership and transact it to somebody else. So all those things, you have to think of all that in the future, because, of course, when you're selling them and you're new, everybody's in the purchase mode. But somewhere down the road, whatever that is, 15, 20 years down the road, you know, people are going to get to an age, or they're just going to get to a different spot in life where they've done that and they want to move on. So you have to have all those considerations in your membership so that those people, you know, have an investment, I guess, in their membership, and they can use it, and, you know, it'll be worth something down the road and pass it on to the next person that's all excited to go use it and become part of that.
Yeah, too cool. Way to go. It's a really super cool look at it, and a real good way of looking at motorsports in the future. And that's really what you guys are doing, and good on you, Trev, for doing it. Final question for you tonight. That RS1 series, I noticed that there was some short tracks, some oval tracks that got mixed into the schedule there. Will there be more of that in 2021?
Absolutely. So, you know, like everybody, COVID really hammered us this year. We had intended to go to Saskatoon this year. We had a date booked there, which we had to step away from because we couldn't put any fans in the grandstand.
Right.
So we did do the one in Penticton. Actually, we did two in Penticton. We weren't able to bring fans. I think we brought, you know, we were allowed 50 people or whatever,
yeah,
token amount of people and crew. But, you know, we did it because it was right close. It's a matter of miles from the shop. So it was a good one to get the people that haven't done that, you know, some of the road course racers immersed in oval. And, man, did they ever love it. I tell you, they just, you know, said, we got to do more of those. So it was a pleasant surprise for me. I didn't really know how they were going to react to it, but it's been a great mix. The car was phenomenal. We were actually as quicker than the late model track record there, and we didn't do anything to the car.
Wow.
We took it the same way it came off the road course, of course, because we prepare all of the cars ourselves, and they're all identical. Well, actually, I lied a little bit. I guess we put a little bit of camber in the left front, and that's all we did.
Yeah.
Last year when we went, we didn't even do that. But, you know, everybody's running the same thing, but it's crazy how fast you are because we got such a light car. We're only running a 2,500-pound car.
Right.
You know, so it gets around there very well. It's got a lot of tire underneath it. So, and it was awesome. We came out of there. We didn't have a scratch on any fender. The show was great. We're going to go back. The drivers all want to do it again. It's a nice mix between the road course and the oval. The car lends itself to that, and the series lends itself to that. So we're building very, very quickly. We're building car number 15 and 16 right now as we speak. Al Liebert's leaving B.C. in about 4 days because we're done here for the season. We're going to go back and continue with those builds in a shop in Armprayer. I'm very excited with the growth we had of that. And adding another track in Alberta to this is of course, going to drive that growth a lot more.
Well, I hope you didn't plan on retiring anytime soon, Trevor Siebert. You got lots to do,
well,
I can
know,
tell
it's
you
funny
that.
You say that.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that because I'm pretty excited about it, but there are times when I sit back and wonder what the hell I did. Because I got a bit of a tiger by the tail right now. But what the heck, eh? Only live once, so might as well give her.
That's the Trevor Siebert I always knew. Cool stuff, Trev. This has been great catching up with you, and I know we got to get together more often. We got a long off season here, and I know we look forward to snagging you a couple times, getting you on here. And I want to get Riley back on here and talk to him about the season that he had this year. Kind of cool stuff that you guys got going on. And please keep us up to date. I know we'll keep up to date watching Avion Motorsports, but let's get back together, shall we?
Absolutely. I'll be your guest anytime. It was great talking to you guys.
You want to believe it? That's Trevor Siebert. Thanks, Trev.
We'll talk to you again.
You betcha. Trevor Siebert out in B.C., Area 27, Avion Motorsports, Badlands, Alberta. All this stuff that he's got going on, and I know, Junior, you and I talked around the dinner table about the model and how cool is that when you can get a condo, if you will, and you got your race car sitting in the driveway.
Yeah.
Get up in the morning, get out, belt in, and go.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's... you know, I don't want to overstep and say the wrong thing here. It's not the elite model. It is the upper class model of where motorsports can be, though.
Sure.
Right. So it is.
Everything's got to have its place.
It's got to have its place. So, it's the upper tier model. I think there's a little bit of a hybrid opportunity on the oval side, and I think that. There's an opportunity to do a very similar type of thing within the oval short track racing community in the world.
Well, they're staying in a camper as opposed to a condo.
Correct. There is that portion. But when you look at the business model of Saskatoon, of Wyatt Group Speedway,
right,
that is a very unique platform and very similar. And they still have the ability to mix in the shows that are... true blue. Listen, to motorsports, like for me as a motorsports guy, I want to build a race car that will beat you on the racetrack and it will beat everybody else on the racetrack.
Yeah.
It's a very different model when you're out there to drive a fast car around a racetrack. But I think that there's an opportunity to cross the two over.
Well,
you know,
you gotta be careful here because
I'm not
you're talking about the Saskatoon model and then you went into talking about driving a car.
Well, that's
the people
at the root of having the membership. At the root of having the membership.
The people that don't know, Saskatoon is owned by the people. It's not owned by an individual owner.
Yep.
See, they wouldn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
it is a membership-based program, right?
Sure.
And
a very cool one.
And a very unique one. You know, I just think it's incredibly difficult pill to swallow to not see race racing on a racetrack that is beautiful like Area 27 or Badlands, the NASCAR Penny Series should be there.
Oh,
you know, the
hands
the
down.
The really the it's a beautiful facility, beautiful racetrack. That should be an event, you know, that should be a place where you see series like the Grand Am Series and series like
yeah.
the NASCAR Penny Series.
No, I agree.
And I just wish that there was a way to cross the two models together. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that will happen down the line.
Well, next time we get Trevor on, we're going to ask him that.
Absolutely. And I'm not suggesting, you know, changing their business model or anything like that. I love what they're doing. It's completely different.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're obviously having success with it. That RS1 series has got beautiful race cars. They put on a cool show. I've had lots of great conversations with, well, Jason White, you know, who
sure.
was there as a competitor and a guy watching. It's a really unique platform. And I love that they're trying to contain the cost of motorsports. And I love that they're trying to, you know, have good, strong competition. There's so much to be said about the root of what racing is. And that's beating everybody to the line with your, not just your brain, but with the way that you hold the wheel. And I love that, that model too. So I think that there's a place for both of them.
And it sounds like they are crossing both lines.
Exactly.
When you add in the oval track perspective,
yes,
it's going to be very interesting. And I know we'll look forward through the off season to putting those together and
yep.
finding out what the vision is. It's just so cool what they're doing out there. I get so excited.
It's unique. It's unique for sure.
You want to believe it. Okay. Final break of the night. When we come back, Frosttoberfest. We're going to talk about it next. We got the pro late winner. Jaden Franklin's going to join this show next. Stay with us.
Hello, race fans. This is Adam Andretti, and you're listening to the best of Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM. Channel 167.
Get your race fix anytime online. www.racetimeradio.com. Also available on Facebook. Just search Racetime Radio. And as always, you can drop us an email. info@racetimeradio.com.
From two wheels to four, and so much more. Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work, no paper or kindling, and presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. Quickwick, they work.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Perfect!
Yeah! Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Race
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
Thank you, Andy. And we are back with you live tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167 Canada Talks and Frostfest, Frosttoberfest. I called it Frostfest again. Frosttoberfest 2020 took place at Flamborough Speedway just yesterday, but all the listeners of Racetime Radio knew that already because they listened to the races live just yesterday. And you'll know that the Prolate winner was the number 31 of Jade Franklin, and we have Jade on the line. What's going on there, Jade? How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Fantastic, man. You took that 31 to victory lane in one of the biggest season-ending events here in Canada. Good on you, man. That was quite a race.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I still don't even know what to think. It's pretty unreal. I mean, our first win in a Prolate model, and to do it at Flamborough at Frosttoberfest, the biggest race of 2020 so far, I think. They're in Ontario anyway. It's pretty cool to do it.
So I was going to say, is that your biggest win? And I guess it would be if that's your first Prolate win.
Yep. Yeah, I know. We won in a Thunder car there, but that's our first Prolate win, and it was a pretty good one.
So take us back through yesterday's race. I know there was lots of action in that race. And everybody, you know, you had to be there to get your positions and stuff. You held a pretty wheel yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Well, to start off, I mean, we had the car was hooked up all day right off the trailer in practice. We had a good piece, and, you know, we were able to qualify up front, which helped us because I've never been a good qualifier, and qualifying up front definitely helped us. We didn't have to be back in the junk. But you know, as far as the race goes, we were running strong. We were in the top five for the whole beginning of the race, and then got shuffled back on a restart. Back to I think we were in seventh, and then off the next restart, I think we made it back up to fifth, and that whole. Whatever that was on the front straightaway there happened, and, you know, it took over the lead and never looked back.
It's got to be tough, too, right? Like, I kind of figured there should have been a caution. I know that was the echo of a lot of different people, but you got to look at it from the official standpoint. Nobody's on the infield. Nobody's turned around. Well, you got to keep the green flag out. Everybody kept moving.
Oh, yeah. At the same sense, if we ended up getting a caution there, we wouldn't have been sitting on the front row for the restart, I don't think. So it worked out good for us. And, I mean, as far as those last 20 laps or whatever it was goes, we showed that we could run up front, so we showed that we had a car to win. To be honest with you, I thought there was a caution, and then my spotter, Jordan Latimer, he said, we're still green, like, go, go, go. So, you know, once I heard that, I just kind of focused, and we were up front, and I never, you know, I made sure I hit my marks every single lap, and then we went on to win. So.
The fact that there wasn't a ball of cars in turn one yesterday through that whole deal commends the entire field of racers.
Yeah,
there were five wide coming down the front straightaway. Jay, of course, we're going to take it back to anybody who wasn't listening or wasn't watching. There was a restart, and everybody started two by two. They took the green flag. They went down the back, and everybody was dicing for position. They were three wide for the lead. Everybody was jacking each other up. It was just a normal restart. Coming through turn three and four, the leaders, which was Shane McGinnis and J.R. Fitzpatrick, got into one another. Fitzpatrick went around off the nose of the 13 and spun halfway into the infield, but still on the racing surface, did a full 360 and stood back in the throttle, and there was never a yellow flag. Jade Franklin, of course, our guest, kept his foot in it on the top side. The seas parted, the 31 drove on by, the entire field was on the brake pedal, way before normal entry because of everybody checking up because of the 84 spinning. you know, the 13 and the white car, the 3, got into one another, you know, hopped wheels a little bit. The 3 was in the air, actually. You know, everybody gathered it back up. Everybody's wheels were pointing in the right direction. The green stayed out. And when going down the back straightaway, you had probably an 8-car length lead over Blair Wickett in the 97. One of the most crazy events. You can't overstate how crazy the event was. I've never seen a lap like that in short track racing. I've seen guys get spun and not lose a position, you know, but it's usually when it's, you know, single file and it's a long green flag run. In that situation, they should have tore up 15 cars and it just didn't transpire. But looking at through the day, you have built your performance through this year like no other in Pro Late Model. If there was a best performing as a division or somebody the most improved, I guess you could say, it has to go to you and your team now that you went to Victory Lane. You kind of progressively just stepped up your program from the drop of the first green flag this year right through to now.
Yeah, I mean, like, I appreciate it. I mean, we've been working hard. Everybody, you know, Brian McDonald, he's, and my dad, we've all been up at the shop, working as hard as we can, getting ready for these races. And, you know, we don't got the funding like some of these guys, so we kind of pick and choose our races. And I mean, as far as going out there and winning Frost Oberfest, it's just unbelievable. Like, I don't even know what to say. You show up there and everybody's calling me the underdog, and now looking at it, I guess we were, right? And racing against, you know, guys like JR and Shea Gemmel and, you know, guys like that. So, I don't know, as far as that wreck goes, thinking about it, you know, I mean, if I was in that wreck, obviously, I know where those guys were coming from. They would have wanted a caution. I would have been the same. But I guess, you know, cars don't get tore up and everybody's still rolling and no caution. I mean, I'm not gonna complain about it because no. Look how it turned out, right?
So. Hey, you had to drive the wheels off that race car for the final, I guess it was 11 laps. Like there was, it wasn't like you got the lead and then the checkered flag was the next lap. You had to drive the wheels off it. The 13 was coming in the mirror. The 84 was coming again.
Yep.
The 52 finished third, and he was right there. When you look you didn't just get handed a win by any stretch.
I was not alluding to
that at all, just so you know. You executed, and that's what it takes at this level. And with that program, you know, you mentioned it in your Victory Lane interview a little bit, but you also had Andrew Grizel, multi-time late model champion and a guy who is close with Brian McDonald in your pit. Was that your first time working with him or how did that whole deal come together?
Yeah, we've Brian McDonald, he works with Andrew a lot and he works with us, and Andrew wasn't racing this weekend, unfortunately, with his wreck there at Jucasa, and he said he wanted to come out and work with us, and I wasn't going to deny it. I've talked to him before, and it was, honestly, it was awesome having him there. He taught me a lot. We were talking, and it was just, he was definitely a huge help to getting us there, and Brian, he's been a part of our career, our Pro Late program, the whole time. So both of them there, it's just, I can't thank them all enough.
Well, you did a masterful job in winning that race. You get to ride that momentum all the way through the off season, my friend. You are the winner of Frost Oberfest in a Pro Late Model. You did an awesome job. Got to ask you, what's that igloo like? That's a pretty cool award that Mike Schmidt put together, right?
Oh, yeah. I got to thank Mike for everything that he does for racing and for that race. And he said they come all the way from Nunavut, I think. And,
yeah, Rankin Inlet.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool trophy. It's definitely one to keep. And it's definitely my coolest trophy, I think, that I have. I'll tell you, it's heavy.
Yeah, I bet. I bet there was 24 other guys that wanted to tote that baby home. And, Jade, you did it. Congratulations on that big win, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. And thanks so much for your time tonight on Race Time. We surely appreciate it. Have a good off-season. I know we'll check in with you through the off-season and see what the plans are for 2021 for the 31.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I just got to thank all my sponsors here real quick. Call the Cup Millwright Services, Corey McAllister there. He's a huge help. Pratt's Air, Barry, Lighton's Welding and Mechanical Services, and Redline Signs and Apparel.
Well, you did her, and you did a good job. Good for you, and we'll talk with you again real soon, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You bet. That is Jade. Franklin did a dynamite job in that 31 car. I got a couple of clips that I want to play. First of all, let's hear from the mini stock winner, shall we? These guys don't get enough gratitude for what they do. Here is Will Gibbons. He went to victory lane in the mini stock class.
Will Gibbons, a driver I know real well. Will, you certainly had a dominant performance here today, and you've been so fast all year long.
Yeah, like, it's not just a one-man show anymore. I've got Scott Sled helping me out. He helps a lot on the car, man. Like, I don't know. I can't thank him enough.
You certainly know Kevin Bridge very well. You and him had a real battle all race long.
Yeah, we knew each other fairly well. There's been a few years distance between us, and the only time we really meet is on the track. So it's nice to be able to race clean against him and load the car in the trailer at the end of the night.
Who would you like to thank here today?
My family. That's about it. And Scott Sled.
There you go. And he did that. Craig Cole was the winner of the Pure Stock race at Frostoberfest. Here is Craig.
Yeah, it was great. Car's working well and didn't overheat.
You made some great moves there to get up to the front.
Yeah, it's just a one hang of a thrill. You get out there and you start getting into a little bit of lap traffic and you do what your mind says and you don't have much time to make a second choice.
It was great, and what a show you guys did. And, you know, it's a lot harder for you to drive these pure stocks on the track than a mini stock simply because of the suspension. And I think fans really appreciate what you guys do.
Yeah, and like you said, everything's bone stock, pure stock in these things. And kick the interiors out, throw a little cage in, and away we go, having all kinds of fun.
Who would you like to thank for this win here today, getting you here?
Yeah, so most of all, my family and friends, Angela. We have Siskins, a law firm. They've been on board for a couple of years now. They're a great bunch down in London. Triple B Racing, Fierce Print and Design, and, of course, Flamborough, and thanking them for putting on an event for us to all have fun at.
Very good. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Great call, everybody.
Super stock winner, Steve Cashmore, running out of time here. I want to get these in.
Well, Steve, you were able to be in the right place at the right time. You avoided that crash, and here you are in victory lane.
That looked really, really horrible down from my point of view. A bunch of cars up on the wall. The 71 backwards on driver's door. Hope everybody's okay. Last second I saw that and ducked the car down. Thank God it stuck. And we just sit there and didn't know if the 12 car was out front of us or not. And my spotter came over the radio and said, we're the leader. Amazing. Just amazing day.
You hung around there all race long, and you're in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely. You know, you got to just stay with the guys. The competition here with, the 36, the 71, a whole bunch of guys just, really, really, really tight. And, I guess we were in the right place at the right time. Awesome. Just awesome day.
And that is your winners. We are out of time here on Race Time Radio. Got to put it out to Jim Irvin. He was along with Jerry Paxton and I for the call of the race. Get to racetimeradio.com. You can have a listen to the full day over there. Got to thank Sue here in the Race Time Radio studio, Scotty back in Toronto. That does it for us tonight. We will be back next Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. All live right here on Sirius XM Channel 167. Have a great night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com.
We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.